Acts chapter 1, verses 15 through 17 and 21 through 26. Let us listen to the word of God this morning. In those days, Peter stood up among the believers. Together, the crowd numbered about 120 persons and said, "Friends, the scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit through David foretold concerning Judas, who became a guide for those who arrested Jesus. For he was numbered among us and was allotted his share in this ministry. So one of the men who had accompanied us during all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John until the day when he was taken up from us, one of these must become a witness with us to his resurrection." So they proposed two: Joseph, called Barsabbas, who is also known as Justice, and Matthias. Then they prayed and said, "Lord, you know everyone's heart. So show us which one of these two you have chosen to take the place in this ministry and apostleship from which Judas turned aside to go to his own place." And they cast lots for them, and the lot fell on Matthias, and he was added to the 11 apostles. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. When my dad was just a few years from retirement, his boss gave him this impossible project with an unrealistic deadline, and his blood pressure skyrocketed instantly. He knew because at the cafeteria they had one of those blood pressure gauges. And a week later, when the project was finished, his blood pressure went back to normal. A few weeks had passed, but as a prize for finishing the project so well and efficiently, his boss gave him another one. His hours increased, the expectations were intense, and his blood pressure went up again. His health just couldn't take this workload and expectations, and whether he liked it or not, he was thrown into this crossroads of sorts, not by his own choosing, but there he stood, feeling out of control, yet it was time for him to make a major life decision: his health or an early retirement. We've all experienced life-altering crossroads of some sorts, and it's in these moments, if you're anything like me, you probably wonder how you can handle it. You might ask God, "Why are you doing this to me?" As our lives spin out of control, we stand at the crossroads, barely seeing the path that lies ahead of us. We wonder how to make that right decision, how to discern, how to listen to God in all of this. Now, in our scripture reading, the first disciples stand at an important crossroads. I don't know if you remember, but Jesus has just ascended to heaven, but they haven't yet received the Holy Spirit. It's a 10-day-long crossroads where Jesus is gone and they're left on their own. It's a major transition, whether they like it or not, and a lot of things hinge on this transition of leadership. One scholar says it like this: in the crucible of the uncertainty in those days, the disciples remained faithful in prayer and in seeking the will of God. When they're at the crossroads, when they're in this limbo period, when change is happening before them, they remain faithful in prayer and seeking the will of God. It's not an easy thing to do, especially in the midst of change. Now, I realize there's a lot of folks here whose lives might feel in control, but if you look a little deeper, they may seem quite the opposite. Certainly on the surface, it might look like we're doing fine, but I know what it's like. You know those Russian nesting dolls where there's this tiny little figure inside, and then there's another layer, and then another layer, and then another layer? On the surface, things might look fine, just like those nesting dolls. But as you start going deeper, you get to our real selves, We just add all these protective layers. But the truth is, if you get down to the core, it seems like we barely have things together. For many of us, just like the disciples, we face that crossroads and we wonder how to find our way forward. Some of us are at work and we're going there. Do we keep the job we hate? How much pressure can we handle? Some are worried about our families, especially as kids finish up the school year, as tweens and teens deal with hormones, or an adult child who is making plans on staying home indefinitely. Others are dealing with family that's very sick. You might be experiencing high-stakes tension with your spouse, or the list continues, loneliness, depression, drinking. Fill in the blank. When we stand at that crossroads, we barely know how to move forward. We wonder which way to go because sometimes we're just so tired. We've pushed even our own needs aside, and we no longer believe we're good enough or we don't measure up. But let's get back to Scripture. What do the disciples do when they're short a leader? When they're without Jesus, when they're not in control at this crossroads? Now, I don't know how many movies you've watched about Jesus or what your mind's eye thinks when you read Scripture, but Jesus is surrounded by many disciples who follow him for years. It's much more than just the 12 apostles. By the time we get to Acts, it's more like 120 who are following Jesus. And Jesus picks them, or they picked Jesus. And Jesus has this whole group of men and women following him, giving up their whole lives to follow Jesus around for these 3 years. They're faithful people. Some of them know Jesus intimately, maybe not as intimate as the apostles, but they are very close to him. And it's here right now, the book of Acts, at this crossroad when they determine a way forward. They're in need of another leader to step up since Judas hanged himself. So at this crossroads, they elect a 12th apostle. And it provides a roadmap for us when we're at the crossroads. While Peter could have picked the apostle himself, he doesn't. And these faithful apostles finally land on two leaders. This is the real test. They leave this last part up to God. In verse 24, it says that they pray, and then by drawing straws, God chooses Matthias. Now, this may sound like chance to most everyone else, but these apostles, these disciples, are no dummies when it comes to faithfully discerning God's will. Now, it certainly took them a long time to figure this out. But they've walked beside Jesus. They know the incarnational God. I'm pretty sure seeing Christ die and then be resurrected again transforms them into experts of discernment and people of deep faith. So they pray. And then they ask. And then God provides them an answer. Especially when facing the crossroads, they let God work in the midst to call this 12th apostle. A friend of mine served his first call in the Dakotas. He was a pastor to a Native American congregation, and he tells me of a time when they faced this impossible circumstance. He was young, didn't know what to do or how to move forward, and he told me that he recounts a wise elder telling this young, nervous pastor this: there's only one thing we can do, and that is, in this impossible circumstance, we have to praise God. There's no other way forward without God intervening, he says, so we have to give God thanks and praise for helping us through this. So that's what they did. This young pastor and this wise elder gathered everyone together, and they shared this impossible circumstance with everyone. And then they all gathered and praised God in worship. And you know what? God helped them through it. Now, this pastor doesn't remember the details anymore, but he does remember what they did. The only thing they could do to praise and to lean on God. Now, I don't know about you, but it's quite a task putting on this show, to put on an act like there's nothing wrong. Now, we all look nice and put together, especially here on Mother's Day. Maybe it's that Midwestern smile we all seem to wear so often. But even if you don't want to talk about it, God's not fooled. The deeper we go, the more chaotic things become. So we add these protective layers, just like those Russian nesting dolls. I don't know if you've ever experienced it, but it seems like when it rains, it pours. And when it pours, all those protective layers begin to wash away, and no longer can we hide our ability to be in control. We become exposed, not only to others, but to ourselves and to God. And the last thing we can finally do is desperately ask God to provide a way forward. Somehow, this is where God seems to work the best in my life. When I finally discover that the ship has sunk, and then finally discovering I have no other place to turn, no other place than to turn to God. Now, we don't have to wait until it pours to ask God for help. We can follow the disciples' example of that wise Native American elder. Every time we come to this place of worship, or every time we're in prayer, we can expose ourselves. We can take away those protective layers, and we can stop acting like we're in control or we have it together. We can ask God for help. But even if you can't do that, just remember, when you're worried or scared, when life feels like it's unraveling before your eyes, or when we're like the disciples waiting and wondering what to do, follow their example. Turn to God in prayer. Praise God, especially when you can't do anything else. Let go of the false assumption that we're in control of anything, because we're not in control. We never have been. We never will be. But God is in complete control. Now, the truth is, if we start singing our praises, giving thanks to God, it actually forces us to let go of control and recognize that God's in control. It forces us to have faith and helps us realize that we are dependent on God, that we need God. And it's especially when we're at those crossroads, when we're struggling to see ahead. Now, if you start praising God, I guarantee you will start to see God even in those small ways. I'm not saying it'll be easy. I'm not saying you'll be less stressed right away. I'm not saying that you'll have it all figured out. But you will no longer be hiding or adding those protective layers. You will see God. You will begin to discover that God is with us in the crossroads. So praise God today. And if you can't, then let your church family, all those women, all those adults, all those faith-filled leaders, help you praise God. That's why we come to church together, even when we can't praise or pray. We can lean on our church family. We can lean on God, because God's got this. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.